Hey everybody and welcome back to Serial Zombie Mom. Today is another local case, or at least mostly local case, of the Gaffney Strangler. Now, Gaffney is a lot of people who know me that listen to this know that I'm only about 20 minutes away, maybe 30, just depending on the area. And it doesn't take me long to get there, and I, for the longest time, was driving through there almost every single day. So, I also have relatives that live there and know quite a bit about that little area. Now, this was something that kind of happened in the late 60s and actually made pretty decent news, all right? Leroy Martin was born April 25th of 1937. Now, we don't know a lot about him other than his local affiliation and that he was born in Gaffney, South Carolina. Now, 20 years old, he was convicted of assault and battery with intent to kill when he got a hold of a young girl, took her into the woods, and assaulted her. Now, he served a hard labor sentence, but when he got out, he married and fathered 3 sons. Luckily, it was sons, because I don't know what the hell the guy would do if he had had daughters. So he goes and works at the local Cherokee County textile mill, and also had a part-time job as a cab driver. Now, with all this being pretty local or near me, I could probably, you know, drive the few minutes down the road, stop in at a mom-and-pop breakfast place, hell, or even any Bojangles or Waffle House for first thing in the morning, and ask about him and see what the people remember. I could probably bet I would run into one of his sons or someone else that personally knew him or at least knew his victims and all the terror that ensued. Now let's go ahead and dive right in to victim number one. 33-year-old Ann Lucille Dedman had had a few drinks March 1st, 1967, left her husband stranded at a local donut shop, which was probably a Krispy Kreme, and her husband Roger wasn't really worried about it because she had a history of doing this when she was drinking. Unfortunately, her body was found between the towns of Union, South Carolina, and Spindale, North Carolina, the next day. Now, obviously, the husband was the first one looked at because why would she leave him stranded? They must have been fighting. They were both drinking. They had been out for the night. So they picked him up for her murder. He was charged, and the jury agreed, despite him claiming his innocence through the entire process. So he was sentenced to 18 years and sent to Union County Prison Camp. Little did they know, more was to come. February 8th of 1968, Bill Gibbons of the Gaffney Ledger gets a phone call about 2 bodies, where they'd be found, and that he was also the one that murdered Ann Lucille Dedman. He also, the caller, also tells him that it wasn't a joke. I need you to listen, and I need you to do exactly as I say, and then take the information to the police. Do not go and try and look for these bodies by yourself. Go and tell the police and have them go with you. Now, Gibbons passes off the information to the police, but took it with a grain of salt, not really believing any of the information that was told to him. So, on a whim and for shits and giggles, they follow the instructions of the caller and find the body of a nude woman near People's Creek Bridge. Nancy Carol Paris was a 26-year-old who had been reported missing by her husband the previous day when she had been walking her poodle. They found numerous cigarette burns on her back. And when they realized this was all real, they called for backup. And the police started searching the area for the second body. In the area described by the caller, they found Nancy Christine Reinhart, the 14-year-old girl, 14, had been missing for 10 days. But as verified by the coroner, she and Paris had only been killed within 24 hours of being found. This shows that Reinhart had been held captive for over a week. Now, she also had cigarette burns, and they found that both girls had been strangled and found under a brush pile, Reinhart's foot sticking out of the brush pile. Sorry. Reinhart had been found under the brush pile. Paris had been found kind of out in the open. Now, February 13th, 15-year-old Opal Diane Buxton had finished her chores early. She headed to the school bus stop. It was only about a quarter mile away, and her brother and sister were following behind her, but it was about 50 yards or more, so they were just far enough behind her that it didn't look like they were together. Now, her little sister, Gracie, says she saw a man grab Opal, force her into the trunk of a blue sedan, and drive away. Both girls screamed while the brother actually ran home to tell their father, Emmanuel. And when Emmanuel ran from the house to the location where Opal had been grabbed, her books were strewn all about the road.
Mommy.
Sorry about that, guys. My daughter. Craziness. Anyway. So, the day before Opal was taken, Gibbons got another call at the paper saying, if they don't catch me, there is going to be more deaths. And then he also brought up Anne Lucille Dedman again. Now, when Gibbons tried to talk to him and have him turn himself in, he said, you know, and I quote, it's no use. I'm a psycho. I'd get the chair. They'll have to shoot me like the dog I am. The only reason I'm telling you this is to get that other boy out of prison. He's serving my sentence. Now, Gibbons asked about the poodle that Nancy had been walking, but he said that he had killed the dog, but that he wasn't going to tell them, you know, where it was. Now, there were tire tracks at the scene, and he knew they'd be tracked to him. And he also said that with Dedman, he had stopped her, she had been driving all over the road, she and her husband had been driving all over the road, that he had followed them from the nightclub to the donut shop, and actually described details of her murder that only the murderer would know. Now, he said that she jumped into the cab when he offered her a ride, which was corroborated by her husband Roger's accounts. Now, on February 15th, the people of Union County were searching all over for Opal. Theodore Lang and Frank Henders were driving on a back road when they saw a man standing behind a vehicle, and he jumps in the car and quickly drives away. Now, they wrote down his plate number, followed him to his home, and then notified police. When the police drove to the site where they had seen him, they found fresh pine needles coming out from under a log. And when they removed all this, they found the strangled body of Opal Buxton. She had also been burned with cigarettes, just like the others, and had been stabbed. They could tell that she fought. Now, the plate was obviously traced back to 30-year-old Leroy Martin, who seemed pretty much like a very unlikely suspect. However, He claimed to hear voices and blamed the murders on a darker part of him. He eventually even led them to clothing from the victims and the remains of Mrs. Parris's poodle. All four victims had been raped as well as strangled with a belt. Now, Leroy Martin had pled guilty on 4 counts of murder and received 4 life sentences. However, 3 years into his sentence, he was killed by another inmate. So regardless, he still got off easy. Now, it was discovered later, actually, that Martin had actually shown up on February 15th to the visitation of family and friends at the Reinhardt home, where he said to Nancy's sister, as he looked upon her body, "She sure is a pretty girl. I don't see how anybody could have done this to her." This haunted her sister for years after this, especially to realize that this was the man that was arrested and would serve murder for her murder. Roger Dedman, thank God, was released in 1969 after a year in prison and now continues to reside and work in North Carolina. Now, it was noted later that after SLED agents had cross-examined Martin, he admitted to actually engaging in sexual acts of necrophilia with the body of Reinhardt. However, we're not sure about the other victims. She's the only one that he initially said anything about. Now, the sheriff in Gaffney at the time also stated that the reason that the death penalty wasn't chosen was due to some of the ways that the evidence was obtained. Now, had they fought for this and fought for the death penalty, Martin probably could have walked free, regardless of his crimes. Now, if you want to watch a quick episode that kind of goes into some of the information of this case, you can watch A Crime to Remember on ID. It's the season 3 premiere, and the title of the episode is called Lock Up Your Daughters. Now, there are a few books as well. Martin, Profile of the Gaffney Strangler by Bill Gibbons. Tommy Martin's I Will Kill Again, the Gaffney Strangler story. And Tommy, who wrote this last book, was brought in, actually, to take photos of the crime scene because the police did not have a crime scene photographer at the time. So you actually see him in that Crime to Remember episode talking about all of this. And it's pretty interesting, to actually see. Now, I could probably go on, and he was not a bad-looking guy. He was 30 years old when all this happened. Talking about Martin, Leroy Martin. And, he knew he was doing wrong. Like, that's why he wanted to get caught. I believe he was probably dealing with different types of schizophrenia or of dissociative identity disorder or something along those lines. But again, I am not a doctor. I am not a psychologist. I don't know, all the ins and outs of everything. I haven't read his reports specifically, so I wouldn't be able to say for sure. But, I mean, he was obviously dealing with some sort of mental illnesses to deal with or to do the things that he did, and always blamed it on his darker side. You know, that there was a bad part of him. It was still him, but it wasn't him. It was another part of him that was doing all this. So, I mean, I don't know if he went as far as to say he would black out or anything like that. You know, a lot of other people will try and pull that, they'll try and pull that bullshit and say that, you know, it wasn't really them. They just need medication. They need this, that, and the other. and they should be able to walk free. We're so sorry. But this is definitely, I mean, hell, this was 68. I should probably talk to my father and see what he remembers about this, because it was just a few minutes down the road for him. So, but it was pretty, it's pretty interesting that this guy wanted to be found. And we see this with a couple of other serial killers. You know, we've got the ones that say, please, you know, catch me before I do it again. Or, you know, there's a few of them, and I've got them on my list, so I will talk about them again. I've got a list probably 100 deep or more for my podcast. So many, many more episodes to come, guys. So, if I get off a little bit by a day or two or something like that, it's probably just because I've had a lot going on. And just bear with me, because there will be another episode very, very soon. I will notify you guys if I decide I'm going to either stop or slow down, how often the episodes come out. So I will let you guys know, but, I hope you guys enjoyed. I know this one was a little bit shorter of an episode from what I typically try to do, but I like it because it was a little bit of a local, and you know I like to do the local stuff and stuff that I'm kind of semi-close to, so, again, I hope you guys enjoyed. If you have any questions, comments, if anybody knew any more information about this case, and wants me to add it on, just email me at serialzombiemoms@gmail.com. Hit me up on Facebook or in the Facebook group for Serial Zombie Mom. And hit me up on Instagram. I should have before the end of this weekend. So that should be, I think, the 17th of July. I should have all of the latest episodes caught up. Pictures posted and everything. I'm trying to get everything prepped for that so that they can all get posted, and they will probably all post within a day or two of each other. So hopefully everything will get caught up. I've got somebody finally to help me a little bit with some of that, and that way you guys can have the photos that kind of go along with everything that I'm telling you. So have a great day, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed, and I'll see you on the next one. Thanks a lot.